Hey, Si, how come you got the brothers up on the wall here?
1989, the number, another summer. Sound of the funky drummer, music hitting your heart, cause I know you got soul. Hey, listen if you're missing, y'all.
1989, the number, another summer, the sound of a funky drummer. This is Buck with the rubberchickensblog.com, and this is Buckshots. That was Public Enemy's Fight the Power, leading us off once again. We actually started off the last podcast with that song, but I thought since we were looking at the year 1989 in our series on Gamecock football teams, I felt like it was appropriate. You know, if you've ever seen Do the Right Thing, a Spike Lee movie from 1989, the beginning of that movie is Rosie Perez dancing to Fight the Power, and it's a really cool scene, and that is one of the best movies I've ever seen. And if you've never seen Do the Right Thing, you really need to check it out. Fantastic movie. Will make you uncomfortable, probably. Hopefully, it'll make you uncomfortable, but fantastic movie. Not a big fan of Spike Lee. You know, the only things I've ever enjoyed that he's done are the Mars Blackman, Michael Jordan commercials and this movie, but it's worth watching. And if you're a fan of Breaking Bad, you'll see Giancarlo Esposito, who plays Gustavo Fring in Breaking Bad. He plays a character named Buggin' Out in Do the Right Thing, and I think you'll really see his acting range if you watch Do the Right Thing and then turn around and watch his performance in Breaking Bad. Pretty impressive. So what were we talking about again? Oh yeah, 1989 in Gamecock football. So when we left off last, we had finished off 1988 in disappointing fashion and then tragically lost Joe Morrison in early 1989, just before National Signing Day, hired Sparky Woods about 2 weeks later from Appalachian State, and off we were with the Sparky Woods era of Gamecock football. You know, Sparky Woods was a really vanilla guy, especially compared to Joe Morrison. It's hard to say that they were polar opposites, but it's probably not too far off from that. Joe Morrison was the veer guy first, and then run and shoot on offense, ran a blitzing defense with Joe Lee Dunn as his defensive coordinator, you know, maybe walked a little bit on the edge of the NCAA rules and had the steroid scandal, which, you know, if you read the Tommy Chaikin article, he never really was involved in any of the distribution or told any players to take steroids, but it all happened under his watch. So, you know, and Sparky Woods was probably the right guy at the right time because he was such a vanilla guy and such a straight-laced guy. You know, funny story, going forward a little bit in 1992, the first year we were in the Southeastern Conference, I remember the media days that summer. One of the SEC coaches called him Corky Woods and another called him Sparky Wade, and he was forever known amongst our friends as Corky Wade. And you may hear that name mentioned every once in a while. If you ever hear anybody talking about Corky Wade, they're actually talking about Sparky Woods. So the Sparky Woods era kicked off in September of 1989 against Duke with a 27-21 win. I bet you guys can guess who the coach was at Duke that time. A guy named Steve Spurrier. Spurrier's one and only loss to South Carolina. Duke had a really good year that year, too, led to Spurrier leaving Duke, heading to Florida in 1990, and we all know what he did at Florida. And just for kicks and giggles, I'll tell you that Duke beat Clemson that year, too, which had absolutely no bearing on our game with them later in the year, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Second game of the year, we tied Virginia Tech at home. Third game went to West Virginia and lost 45-21. And the week after the game at West Virginia is when Hurricane Hugo hit the coast of South Carolina, came just north of Charleston on Thursday night, September the 21st. I lived in Whaley's Mill, and that night, you know, 2 hours inland at least from the coast, I know I woke up around midnight and the rain was just blowing sideways, and it was a lot of rain. And my room was right next to the smokestack at Whaley's Mill, and I could kind of look up and I could just see it swaying 4 and 5 feet back and forth. And I took shelter towards the inside of the building for a little while. And there was some question as to whether we'd play that game against Georgia Tech on Saturday. The next day, the Friday when we got up, it was just absolutely a beautiful day. When the hurricane came through, it was just like a vacuum cleaner, just cleaned up the atmosphere in the state of South Carolina. And with all the destruction it left a beautiful blue sky. And the next couple of days were pretty nice. And we went out and beat a decent Georgia Tech team. They were certainly better than 1988. They were finished 8-4, I believe. We beat them 21-10. Really, really tight ball game. Following week, we went to Georgia. It was a rainy day in Athens. I was there, and I have a vivid memory of one play from that game and nothing else. It was a third quarter touchdown from from Todd Ellis to Carl Platt in the corner of the end zone. So nice win over Georgia. Come back, beat East Carolina and Western Carolina back-to-back. So we were 5-1-1 at this point in the season. Pretty remarkable considering what Sparky Woods had inherited, that he would have that kind of record. The team would have that kind of record at that point. North Carolina State was coming to town on October the 28th, and we had developed quite a rivalry with these guys over the previous 3 or 4 years. The previous year we talked about the last time was the infamous Todd Ellis six-shooter game. NC State fans were kind of angry about that. And some North Carolina State fans were actually happy when Todd Ellis went down on the first series of the game with a torn ACL, ending his career at South Carolina that night. He didn't play again for the Gamecocks. Finished his career, you know, had tons of passing records until Steve Tannehill came along. You look at the record books these days, it's pretty much split between Ellis and Tannehill. Almost 10,000 yards passing. But, you know, the thing that sticks out, 49 touchdowns to 73 interceptions. His freshman year, he had 20 TDs, 22 interceptions. Sophomore year, that 87-8-4 team, 10 touchdowns, 24 interceptions. 1988, almost as bad, 9 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. So while he threw for over 3,000 yards twice, he was just throwing the ball to the other team way too often, and his passer rating was 118, which is not very good for his career. So holds a lot of records, but really was inconsistent throughout his career. But we love Todd. Todd's our play-by-play guy, and we have some fun with him. So after that game against North Carolina State, which actually we wound up losing 20-10 because we could not generate any offense, went to Florida State, scored 10 points down there against those guys, lost 35-10, went to North Carolina the following week. One of those games I have absolutely no memory of, and we beat them 27-20. I have no idea. I'll have to go back and look at some stats and see. We must have blocked a punt or returned an interception or something like that, because I can't imagine on the offensive side we did a whole lot. That brings us to the Clemson game, and I went back to YouTube. I found this game, the 89 Clemson game, on YouTube, and I watched the first quarter, and it's just, you can really see, this was back in the 80s and 90s when Clemson was just physically superior to South Carolina, and no other game showed you that more than the 89 game. They take the opening kickoff. I think they ran 10 or 12 plays, never threw a pass, just shoved it down our throats for a touchdown. We get the ball. Dickie DeMacy throws an interception on the first play of the game, offensive play of the game for South Carolina. Clemson, another 8 or 9 play drive for a touchdown, and it was just like that all night long. And Dickie DeMacy was just the best we had, but another quarterback, a guy named Pat Turner, got a shot. And it was funny, I remember leading up to this game how excited we were that Pat Turner had been taking snaps at quarterback, because Turner came in the same time Todd Ellis did. they had quite a battle, and Pat Turner actually started a couple of games really, really early in his career until Todd Ellis took over. And Turner was very highly thought of and was, you know, apparently a good quarterback when he came to South Carolina. Realized he wasn't going to get to play quarterback with Todd Ellis around and switched to – he played linebacker for most of his career, I think, and didn't play a lot. So sometime after Ellis's injury, they switched him over to quarterback, and we were just fired up. We were thinking, hey, you know, Pat Turner's probably better than Todd Ellis anyway. And Pat Turner completed a grand total of 3 passes and 7 attempts for 23 yards. I don't know if those were even in the Clemson game. I know he got some playing time in the Clemson game, but 45-0 was the final in that game. You know, everybody talks about 63-17. You want to ask Clemson about their greatest win in the series, they're going to say 63-17. But and I'm not really sure why people don't talk about 45-0. Maybe it was because it was during the Sparky Woods era. Maybe it was because Ellis was hurt. Maybe everybody just kind of feels sorry for us and strikes that one off the radar. But big time loss to Clemson that year. Finished the season 6-4-1, no bowl game. Again, when I think about coming into the season, the passing of Joe Morrison, no recruiting class to speak of, the steroid scandal, to have a team that went 6-4-1 as an independent, even though we didn't get a bowl bid, pretty darn good season. They weren't all like that for Sparky. You know, as vanilla as Sparky was, there were some pretty interesting seasons coming up, and we'll get into 1990 next time around on Buckshots. Thanks for listening.
All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round. I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this. Straight gangster Mac, but sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat, look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy, I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom, I once got busy in a bathroom, I'm crazy. Allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the and I even got my own dance.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the hump.
Come on,
I'll do the Humpty Hump.
Come on, I'll do the Humpty Hump. Check me out, y'all.
I do the Humpty Hump.
Just watch me do the Humpty Hump. Yeah. Do you know what I'm doing? Doing the Humpty Hump. Come on.
I do the Humpty Hump. I do the Humpty Hump.
People say, yo, Humpty, you're really funny looking. That's alright, cause I get things cooking. You stare, you glare, you constantly try to compare me, but you can't get near me. I'm giving more C, and on the floor B, all the girls, they adore me. Oh yes, ladies, I'm really being sincere, cause in this I'm a Humpty nose will tickle your my nose is big. I'm not ashamed, big like a pickle. I'm still getting paid, I get by the ladies, you know I'm in charge. Both how I'm living and my nose is large. I get stupid, I shoot an arrow like Cupid. I use a word that don't mean nothing, like Luke did. I sang on Do What You Like, and if you missed it, I'm the one who said, just grab them in the biscuits. Also told you that I like to bite. Well yeah, I guess it's obvious, I also like to write. All you had to do was give Humpty a chance, and now I'm gonna do my dance.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the hump.
Come on, yeah, sexy lady.
Do the Humpty
Come
Hump.
On. I'll do the Humpty Hump. Hump. Sexy baby. Everybody, come on and do the Humpty Hump. Oh, do you know what we're doing? We're doing the Humpty Hump, y'all.
I'll do the Humpty Hump.
Watch me do the Humpty Hump. Ah, yeah, that's the break, y'all. Let a little of that bass groove right here. I do real, do red, do real, do red. Ah, yeah. Now that I told y'all a little bit about myself, let me tell you a little bit about this dance. It's real easy to do. Check it out. first I limped to the side like my legs was broken. Shaking and twitching, kinda like I was smoking. Crazy, whack, funky. People say you look like MC Hammer on crack, Humpty. That's alright, cause my body's in motion. It's supposed to look like a fit or a convulsion. Anyone can play this game. This is my dance, y'all. Humpty Hump's my name. No two people will do it the same. You got it down when you appear to be in pain. Humping, funking, jumping, gig around, shaking your rump. And when a doodoo chump punk points a finger like a stunt, tell him step off, I'm doing the hump.
The Humpty Dance, here's your chance to do the hump.
Everybody,
I do the Humpty Hump.
Come on,
I do the Humpty Hump. I do the Humpty Hump,
come on,
white people. I do the Humpty Hump, I do the Humpty Hump.
Puerto Ricans,
I do the Humpty Hump.
Just keep on doing the hump.
Samoans, I do the Humpty Hump. Do the Humpty Hump.
Ah, yeah.